I invite you to turn your Bibles, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Brother John, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, that disciple whom the Lord loved, he mentions himself that way. I think he was in awe of the Lord's love for him and the Lord visiting a man such as he there on the Sea of Galilee, a fisherman, a man of no renown, but that the Lord would visit him and save him and call him so, one of the Lord's apostles, one of the 12, a man used to write not only this gospel, but three epistles and the book of the Revelation. And the Lord, in that book of the Revelation, appearing to him on the Isle of Patmos. I believe that John, Brother John, was just overwhelmed by the touch of the Lord upon him. I think in his mind and heart, knowing that he was a nobody from the standpoint of the world, that he would be called to such a work and such a ministry, such a salvation, such a glorious relationship with God through the Son, that he just continually rejoiced in that. And he writes in his gospel, and if you're familiar with it, and I trust that you are, he begins it along the line of how Genesis, the first book of the scriptures, the first book of the Old Testament, first book of the Bible, begins. And there's some things here that the Lord has shown me that I haven't seen before. Maybe you already know them, and that's good. I pray that you do. And if not, maybe we can see them together and just understand more about our Lord and what he has done for us. That's the reason for continuing on to feed upon the Word of God, because the Word of God, the Bible, is a living book. It's a book that is alive. It's not like the dead or static books of the world. They give their information, and many books are good. By books we can learn many, many things that we need to know for living of life. And from the standpoint of theological books, good books that line up with the scripture, we can learn things there. But none of those books are living. It's only the Bible that is alive. And it deals with us today, and the Lord can take the same passage in a year or so or five and deal with us in the state that we're in then. And from the same passage, from the same word, and the Lord can teach us and instruct us and help us. And so we always need to be consuming the Word of God by reading, by meditating, by listening. We always need to be taking the Word of God into us. It is our life, and it is our Lord's communication with us in what he has said and declared about himself, about us, about the Savior, about the future, about our operation in life and in the church. And so here in John chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word. And so here, if you're familiar, you're looking there in your Bible, you see that word, is capitalized. Therefore, it's telling us this is the name of someone, the name of a being. In the beginning was the Word. And so wherever the beginning is, this one, this being, okay, he was there, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so now we have another person, God. God is there at the beginning, and the Word is with God. Way out there, wherever the beginning is, you and I, we understand about our beginning. We don't remember our conception. We don't remember our birth. But in time, as we were born and we lived, we have memories about our beginning. We look at photos or maybe movies, and we understand about our beginning when we don't have any recollection. My parents have pictures of me that I don't remember being there, but the pictures show that I was there. And so I can have understanding about my beginnings from that. Or they can tell stories. They can tell accounts about how things went, how things were. Just like Josie, that one day they'll say, we took you to Olmsted Baptist Church one day, you know, and you were there. I don't remember that, Mom. Well, you were there and that. So. In the beginning, the Word is there, and the Word was with God. Also, this sentence goes on to say, and the Word was God. Now, there are those that want to take and then say that the word was a god. No, that's not being honest with the text. That's not being honest with what we have been given. The word was God. So God is there, the word is there, and the word is also God. So we have these two persons and that as John is writing. Then the same, verse number two, the same was in the beginning with God. And so affirmation, a redundant statement, saying it a little bit different way, the same, speaking of the word, was in the beginning with God. And so that re-emphasis, that double emphasis of the word being there. Whoever this one, the word is, he's God. Okay? All things were made by him. So now we have more information about the word. All things were made by him. Now, what does all mean? Sometimes we've got to slow down and understand, especially in this day where English is being changed and folks are wanting to take English, just the very English, the language that we are used to, and say that things don't mean what they have meant for decades and centuries. Okay, so what does all mean? It means everything. Is there anything left out of all? No, there's nothing left out of all. Okay, and especially in this context, and understood, we need to always take a look at context. Brother Mark brought some of that out in his Sunday school lesson. But if it's been made, if it's been created, it was so by him, by the word. And it's interesting that John and the Lord, through the Holy Spirit of God, would tell us that this one whose name is the Word created everything. Because just a glimpse in our mind back to Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 tells us that everything was spoken into existence by God. He used his word. You are hearing my words this morning. I am breathing, and the creation of God, of my voice box and all of that, and the way that the Lord has made the body, I'm able to take the thoughts that I have and convert them into speech. And by breathing through that larynx, through the voice box, I'm able to make this sound. And so God, by his word, the word by his word, created all things. And it says here, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now, is there something out there that exists that wasn't made by him? No, everything that exists was made by him. And if, with the exception of mankind, was spoken into existence by him. Let's just quickly take a look back here at Genesis chapter 1, just to refresh our minds. And let's... Just a few verses of the beginning. And here it defines the beginning for us, okay? It's our beginning. It's not the beginning of God, but it's our beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So who did so? Did evolution? Was it a happenstance? Was it just a chance? Was it just a lucky draw? No. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And listen to this. Let us see the parallel about what John's speaking to us about in John chapter 1 up against this of the Lord speaking about creation. And the earth was without form and void. So there's substance there, okay? But it's formless. It's not been taken and shaped into anything, whatever it was in. There is desolation. That word void speaks about it being desolate. But there is a substance there that God has created. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And so we see there that there is water at hand also. There is earth, dirt, minerals. That substance that God is going to take and continue to create. He's going to create the heaven. He's going to create the earth. And there's water that is there. darkness is also there. Darkness, we understand darkness to be the absence of light, because light is the primary, okay? And if you don't have light, that's what you have is darkness. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And listen to this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. I find that even more interesting that the Lord says that and tells us that. Because you know what? If the Spirit of God is not moving, there will be nothing. There will not be a future. There will not be life. There will not be a change. That the Spirit of God does not move. But the Spirit of God is at hand, even in the creation. And God said, the earth was without form and void. And what's the first thing that God declares? What's he says? Let there be light. And in 10,000, 20,000, 30,000 years or so, there was light. No, let there be light, and there was light. Light is shining. Brother Jim, there's no sun. Doesn't matter with God. When God says for the light to shine, it shines. You know, without light, there's no vision, is there? You know, without light, our eyes can't work. Without light, you can't see anything. Here the Spirit of God is moving. Here we have this substance of the beginning of the creation of the earth. And the Spirit of God is there, and God said, let there be light, and boom, there's light. And as you know, in the account that the Lord gives us, he continues to go on and work. And in the end, he says he does very, very well. All things were very good. Creating all of the earth, all of the plants of the earth, all of the fish, the creatures, and you and me, and our father Adam. And his wife, Eve. And so we come back to 1 John. And so keeping that in mind about the creation, let's consider this about what John is writing here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. And so there it speaks about God doing so, but now we have understanding that the Word is the one that was there, and we have the Word with God there in the beginning. So there are these two persons. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So he's the one that's doing the creating. He's the one that's making. Anything that exists was made by him. And listen to this. Verse 4, and in him was life. Could the substance of the earth bring forth life? Could that waters of the deep bring forth any life or anything living? Now, you know, we're sold a bill of goods, and young people know this and understand this. You take what God says to heart. Because there are going to be many, many, many in your future that are going to tell you that it was otherwise. But can that void, dark substance, water, can it bring forth light, life? No, it cannot. In him was life, and it was made manifested by the 6 days of creation, wasn't it? As he spoke, life just continued to come. Life continued to be made. The creeping thing of the earth and the beasts of the field and then the fishes of the sea. And from the waters, he brought forth the birds. I find that interesting. He made the celestial bodies. He made the sun to rule the day and the moon to rule the night, all the stars. He divided the heavens as he did, the atmosphere in which we live, and then that which we refer to and call space. And then we understand also about the third heaven where he lives. He created all these things relative to the universe and earth. In him was life. And if you and I will always remember that in him is life, you know, it'll save us from a lot of trouble. Because he is the life giver. alone. We've got Josie and her parents visiting with us today. And I tell you what, the marvel of conception and the growing of the baby in the womb and then bringing forth to the birth and that little baby. That little baby is going to grow into a little girl. I mean, she's a girl now, but she's going to grow into one that's walking around, talking, you know, like Abigail. And then a young girl, a young lady, you know, a woman. That's life. And the Lord does that. The Lord controls that. The Lord gives that. And listen to this. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So now we have the pinnacle, the greatest aspect of God's creation is that of mankind. And the life was the light of men. So now we have mankind that is mentioned, and the life that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Without that life, men don't have light, right? Absence of God's life, that is by him and him alone, means we have no light. So now we have the mention that it is that we have the person of a man, mankind, in darkness. But life from God brings light unto men. Isn't that something? And listen to this. And it was in the primary context is the Lord dealing with mankind. But let's go also consider about there in the creation too. And the light shineth in darkness. And that's present tense. So John's speaking present tense. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so God said at the creation, let there be light. You know what? And what that causes the darkness to do? It causes, as we say and as we sing, the darkness flees, doesn't it? The darkness doesn't understand about light. It can't comprehend because it's darkness. Light works against darkness. Light makes the darkness go away. Darkness can't exist while there's light. Indeed, the light of God. And so when God said, let there be light, there was light and the darkness went away. And this is before sin. God's creating before sin, as we understand it. And so then the life is the light of men. There is this that John is aiming for and that he is writing indeed. There's a darkness that exists with man. And that's what we're going to be told more. It's going to be detailed for us as we go forward. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There is a shining of the Lord. What Brother Bobby read this morning in Romans 1. God has manifested himself in the creation and in our own selves and the way he's created us. And we naturally do not get it. We do not understand it. We do not comprehend it, do we? He's done a marvelous, a miraculous, a wondrous thing without compare. And we just naturally, we don't get it. We don't understand it. And that's the way it is. And so he goes on and he tells about this. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Here's how it has been manifested or shown that this is the case. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this man is John the Baptist, as we understand. He was sent by God. Why was he sent by God? Well, the darkness doesn't comprehend the light. There needed to be more than just the light manifesting, being manifested, and the darkness not comprehending it. Something else needed to be done. Now I'm speaking about here in time, as we have experienced time and the going on of time and where man lives. It's not like, I don't want to give you an idea that God is trying to come up with something that's going to work, okay? But just from the standpoint of mankind and time, the light has shined. And how long did the light shine? The light shined for 4,000 years. And the darkness comprehended it not. Okay, in general terms. So a witness was sent. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. So now there's a witness. And what is a witness? Well, a man, in this case, a man that lives. And a man that what? Speaks. A man that's speaking the word of God, right? Okay, that's what John was sent to do. Some other things too. The same came for a witness. Why? To bear witness of the light. Because see, there was no comprehension. There was not a global comprehension of the light. And the Lord, you understand how I say this, the Lord wants a global comprehension of the light. His design and his purpose be that there be a global comprehension of the light. Brother Bobby read about it. Brother Mark touched upon it. The depravity, the sinfulness, and the wickedness of man is a terrible, dooming affair. Because without the touch and the work of God, there will be none saved. There will not be comprehension. And remember how the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters? The Spirit of God is moving on the face of the earth amongst mankind too. And so a witness is sent. Isn't that wonderful from the standpoint of time and in the living of life in these 6,000 years or so that we've been around, that God did not give up? I mean, it was enough for him to create and do what he did. I speak as a man. But you know what? When the darkness did not comprehend the light, when mankind did not comprehend the light, God sent a witness. He sent a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. This is the only way. This is the only way that a man can believe, is for there to be a witness of the word of a man sent by God to proclaim about the light. And he did so. Praise be to his name, he did so. And the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the deep of the hearts and souls of men. Isn't that something? Isn't that parallel is just, it's just a blessing to me. Isn't it wonderful how the Lord shows us? He just shows us things that are at the heart and at the end and or the focus of a thing. He's shown us that all through the things that he's done previous. You know, John is baptizing. You've heard me. We've mentioned that before. And so John is baptizing and it's showing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. And then it tells about what happens to the sinner, right? And he's doing that in that witness and that work. So it is with our Lord in this. He came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. That it's the only way that we can be saved. It is put there even before you that are not saved today. Believe and trust, repent of your sins, and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. It is the only way you can be saved. That's a witness. That's the testimony unto sinners. And we, as we look to fulfill what the Lord has given, we praise the Lord and we rest in him about the Spirit of God moving on the face of the waters of the hearts and souls of men. That the Lord will take that word and he'll use it. He has and he does and he will. What is this witness? Well, we have it declared for us here. Let's take a look quickly at 1 John chapter 1, verse 15. John bear witness of him. This is his witness. John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried of this one that we know of as the Word, and now this other name, the Light, they're one and the same. The Word and the Light are the same. The Word and the Light are God. The Word and the Light is the one that created. The Word and the Light are, it was there with God and is God. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me." He said, when it gets down to it, when you understand who he is and sees who he is, it would have been not quarreling with the way of God, but it would have been you would have liked him to come first and not have to put up with me. He's preferred before me. If John and this one that is the Word and the Light is there, and you have understanding everything, he said, well, have him come first, the Word and the Light. He's preferred before me. Okay? When we understand who he is and what he does. For he was before me. So John testifies. He is before me. He lived and lives before me. Verse number 4. Verse number 16. And all his fullness have we received, and grace for grace. He said, when you see him, when you experience him, he is full indeed to the meeting of every need of man. And grace for grace. Oh, when you understand about him and what he's done, what he can do, his ability, his power, his willingness to lay aside his glory to become what he did for our sakes, every aspect of his graciousness will overwhelm you. Grace, grace for grace. It never ends. His graciousness, his fullness. Verse 17, for the law was given by Moses. So we understand about the law and its purpose in that. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And so now John and his witness is being sent by God as he has been. The word is out that this one that is the Word and is the Light is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Graciousness and the truth of God came by Jesus Christ. The law stands here and tells us what our condition is, that we're lawbreakers, disobedient. What happens to us as we start off, our daddy started off with one rule, and then now we've got more rules and more laws civilly and from God than we can ever meet, and then what will the legislature do next year? They'll meet again to make more laws. Because naturally, we're just criminal. I mean, we are criminals. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, all their relationship, there's none closer than the relationship between the Son and the Father. He hath declared him, the Son has declared the Father. And this is the record of John, again, his continuing witness. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? John, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias or Elijah? And I find this interesting. And he saith, I am not. John was, he didn't take the prophecy of Malachi to himself, but rather one of Isaiah. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Then said they unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. He's bearing witness, isn't he? And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then? What's this baptizing? You dunking these people in water. What's that all about? If thou be not that Christ, nor Elias or Elijah, neither that prophet. John answers them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. There he says it again. Whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him. And again, his witness again, he says, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So the Word, the light, who is Jesus Christ, is the Savior that men need. See, you can't get that from creation. Even though mankind ought to get something from seeing creation, but we misunderstand it, Romans chapter 1, like Brother Bobby read. So a witness was necessary, and the witness was sent, and John declares it plainly. He takes the veil off of all of it. God has sent his Son, and he is this man. He is the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Atoner. He is the one that men need. I am not him. He is the one, and he's the one that takes away sin. The Word takes away sin. The light takes away sin. And the Word and the light and the witness, the Word of God put in the mouth of the witness, tells about our need, tells about the Savior, and tells about the salvation that's needed, that's only found in the Son of God. All while the Spirit of God is moving on the face of the waters, the deep of the hearts and souls of mankind. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that is just so wonderful. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Verse 30, this is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me. John just can't get off of that, can he? He said, that's how good he is. That's how wondrous and glorious he is. For he was before me. And it's like, he's come. He is here. The one that was before me and is before us all. He has come right here. And he's the one that you need. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I'm coming baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove at Jesus' baptism, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. The confirmation of who the Messiah was, Brother Stephen touched upon about the relationship between John and Jesus as they were growing up and their connection in that. We wonder about all that and how that is. But to know that he was the Messiah, this was the confirmation that was given. I didn't know who the Messiah was, but when this happened, I'd been given this instruction, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John is baptizing. Jesus comes to him. He knows of his notoriety. Knows maybe even of the family connection and everything. John says, I have need to be baptized of you, and you come to me. And the Lord says, to fulfill all righteousness, John, you're going to baptize me. And he does, and like none other, the Spirit of God comes down, and the Father speaks from heaven, and glorifying the Son in his obedience, having come as a man, in the work and the plan and the mission of God to bring salvation to his people, to bring salvation to sinners. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So this is the witness of John in a nutshell. So we come back here to verse number 7. The same John came for a witness to bear witness of the light. And so when John is testifying and witnessing, it's of that person, the light, who is the Word, who we now know is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that all through him, through Jesus, might believe. He was not that light, speaking of John, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Isn't that interesting? There's another point of clarity. Don't get mixed up. John is the witness. John the Baptist is the witness. And Christ is the Word, the light, the Savior. Know that. Know that and don't get that confused. Verse number 9, that was the true light. And that's interesting that there's this double emphasis, true light. You know, typically I like to try to stay away from that. But here the Lord says there needs to be this emphasis. There is light out there. That's really darkness, isn't it? It's fake. But this is the true light. You want to see? You need the capital L-I-G-H-T, who is a person. Who is a person, not a phenomena, not a philosophy, but a person. You need the light. He goes on to say, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. If a man, woman, boy, or girl is going to be illuminated unto eternal spiritual salvation of the soul things, it's going to be by the word, the light, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other that can do the thing that sinners need. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world. And so look at this. We're back to this, the light and the inability of the darkness to comprehend. So by the word, things were created. By the light, things were created. We understand that retrospectively in the passage. All things were created by the Son of God who became a man. All things were created. And from the beginning, the darkness doesn't comprehend the light. God said, let there be light. And there was light back at the creation. Okay? Listen to how bad the depravity is of man. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Not only did he create, not only did he do this wondrous thing of this wonderful place that he's given us to live, that is just, from the standpoint of science and what we understand, is on the edge of existence, but by the word of his power, he makes it all consist and hold together. A body of heat and of light so far away that gave Brother Ashley a sunburn a little bit yesterday. But we need it, because otherwise, if it was we were a little bit further away or a little bit too close, we would have an extreme. He takes that, he makes that work just right. Just one example. He that did all these things became a man and is the creator of all things and of mankind, and we still don't know who he is. That's how bad depravity is. But I tell you what, don't forget, the Spirit of God is moving on the face of the waters, the deep waters of the hearts and souls of men. Listen to this. The world knew him not. He came into his own, speaking of Israel. And his own received him not. So now he's a Jew. He's of the seed of Abraham, of David. He's told about in the scriptures, the oracle of God given by God in a miraculous way into this nation. He comes unto them. They don't want anything to do with him. I tell you what, depravity is terrible, isn't it? The condition of the souls and hearts of men is beyond repair of anything that can be found or done on this earth by men and the sons of Adam. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12, but as many as received him. Well, he just said he was not received by the world. He was not received by Israel. Don't forget, the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the deep waters of the souls and hearts of men. And there are those that receive him. A miracle is worked. A visitation is accomplished. A miracle is worked to where sinners, hardened and dead and trespasses and sins by the word. Isn't that how he works? By the light. by the news, the good word of the Savior. They receive Him. It's the miracle of God. How could the Lord create something out of nothing? Well, you and I don't understand how He could create something out of nothing, but He did. How could He save a sinner? Well, you and I don't understand how He could save a sinner, but He did. An atonement that worked, right, Brother Mark? Right on target. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. This word, receive. To hear what He says and to believe and trust that it's so. Not to do, not to spring into action to accomplish, to trade or to barter or to pay or to promise, but to receive Him. That what God says about Himself and what God says about you is true. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Because that, in regards to sinners, in regards to mankind, that is how God is glorified, in that we believe, we have faith, we trust and rest in Him. And then it goes on to say here, and it tells about this, of the Spirit of God moving on the face of the deep waters of the souls and hearts of men. It's more clarification. It's a getting on from the milk and leaning on to the meat, which were born not of blood. This isn't something that man has done, not born of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. Salvation is not man's design or man's work. It is God's work. It is Jesus' work. And this is the will of the Father, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. This is the work of God, the salvation of sinners, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. We refer to this passage over here in Philippians chapter 1, and it's a blessed passage and gives us understanding about this, of the Holy Spirit of God moving upon the dark and deep waters of the souls and hearts of men. Paul writes to this church at Philippi. He says in verse 5, "For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now," speaking about their faithfulness, their conviction, their following what the Lord has brought into them, saving them, "being confident," verse 6, "of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." He began a good work of creation, didn't He? He began a good work in His purpose to save mankind. It's not going to be wasted. It's not going to be overreaching. It's going to be right on target. It's going to be complete and full. And so praise God for the Holy Spirit that moves and works, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but born of God. And here, speaking again about the lack of comprehension by the darkness of the light, back to the Word. He went from the Word to the light, and now back to the Word, and clarity, utmost clarity, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, "And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth," which we've already read about. He said, Jesus is that Word. We saw Him. He became a man. He lived right here amongst us and in our midst. And we looked on Him, and there was nothing but gloriousness in Him. That one so great, that God from on high would come down here and even spend time. You know, famous people, when they go out and mingle with the folks, they don't spend a whole lot of time with anybody. Can you imagine having Jesus come down and become a man and spend 3 years with you? I mean, glory. They saw and beheld his glory. Every word, every action, every purpose, every miracle, every bit of teaching. We beheld his glory. It was the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, his graciousness to us. No doubt John was thinking about maybe back when their mama came and said, I want James and John to sit on your right hand and on your left when you come into your kingdom. So, oh, he put up with us so. We want fire to come down from heaven, him and Peter, and devour these sinners. You don't know what spirit you're in. He put up with us. He put up with us. He taught us. He didn't quit us. And he always told us the truth. You know why? Because that's what you need. That's what you and I need is the truth. Sinner, you're here without Christ Jesus as your Savior. You need the truth. And the truth is you're a sinner condemned on your way to hell. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, without the Word, without the light, you have no help or no hope. But with him, you'll be able to see. With him and through him and the work of the Spirit of God, you'll be able to hear. And with him and in him, you will have life. Amen. In the beginning. Praise God for our Lord Jesus.